It's spring commencement time when tens of thousands of new graduates head out into the, quote, real world, unquote. Here in Michigan, there have been a lot of public conversations about how we train our students for jobs in this state, how we keep talent from leaving, how to attract new talent, and what our universities can be doing to facilitate all of this. From the proposed Michigan 2020 plan by state Democrats to rethinking the university corridor, there are a lot of ideas floating out there. Our next guest thinks that quite a bit of this discussion about jobs and education in Michigan is rather short-sighted and is missing the larger point. Lou Glazer is co-founder and president of Michigan Future, Inc., and he joins us by phone from Ann Arbor. Welcome, Lou.
Hi, Mark.
Just to start, explain to our listeners what Michigan Future is and what your goals are with the group.
Right, so we are a think tank that got started in 1991 around what was then a pretty unique notion, which is that for Michigan to be prosperous in the 21st century, we needed to make a transition away from a factory-based economy, which even then we knew was sort of irretrievably in decline, and make a transition to a more knowledge-based economy. So that's really been the core of our work for the last two decades.
Do you have a particular goal, though?
Goal? Yeah, it's so the goal is a high prosperity Michigan. It's which is different than sort of, I think, a lot of economic goals, which is sort of driven by unemployment rate. We want a place with a broad middle class with high per capita incomes. So what we've been trying to understand and constantly evaluate is what are the most prosperous places in the country, what are their core characteristics, and then what does Michigan have to do to be one of them once again?
There's been a great deal of discussion about training the next generation for the jobs in Michigan, the jobs of the future in Michigan. We hear that our state has thousands of jobs and no one trained to fill them. What role do our universities play in this?
Well, you know, I guess, I mean, from our perspective, we're pretty resistant to the notion that sort of the purpose of education, whether it's K-12 education, where there's sort of a real push now to reintroduce vocational training, or our higher education system, that the purpose is to prepare Michigan kids for Michigan companies. From our perspective, education is about giving every child an opportunity to maximize their potential, pursue their dreams sort of any place on the planet. So to us, that's way too narrow a sort of a goal for the education system. I don't have kids myself, but all of my friends who have kids and grandkids never define what they're looking for in education, whether it's K-12 education or higher education, as that limiting, as sort of wanting to sort of lower their kids' horizon to just an immediate job with some employer in Michigan. They're all looking, as they should, and we should for all of our kids, to really try to have an education that prepares kids to be successful adults, not just workers, but successful adults wherever on the planet they choose to live and work after school.
But why is training people for specific jobs not the best path?
I'd argue for a couple of reasons. The first one is that life is about more than just a job. So if you reduce education to just sort of vocational training and you take off the table being a good citizen, being a good consumer, being a good parent, I mean, there's a whole set of adult roles that our education system has always been designed for, and it's been one of the strengths of the American education system. But when you're looking at sort of K-16 education, so if we want to move beyond that and just look at sort of education's role in preparing people for the economy, if you'd like, it has always been about, and even now more so should be about, preparing people for a career, not just a job. And careers are 40 years. or longer in a world in which globalization and technology are constantly changing sort of occupations, so that sort of the job skills you have today very likely are going to be obsolete pretty quickly. It's the people who are doing best are a couple of things. One, they are people with four-year degrees or more. They are by far the most employed, and secondly, they earn the most money today, and certainly that's true even more so over a career. But secondly, the asset that they have that they bring to the labor market, and it's what employers are increasingly looking for, are broad skills, not narrow job skills. So this focus on sort of a job tomorrow, I think turns out not to be good for sort of individuals who are preparing themselves for careers. It also turns out not to be good for employers or the economy, because the skills go obsolete, and then folks not only lose a job, but they don't have the skills to get the next job and the next job and the next job.
Are you arguing in favor of a classic liberal arts education here, Lou?
Yep.
You are?
I mean, I think basically, yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's interesting. The conventional wisdom at the moment is that sort of a liberal arts education is of declining value. And I think if you look at what's going on in the labor market today and where jobs are going in the future, sort of that broad-based liberal arts kind of grounding is going to be an even higher competitive advantage going forward than it has been in the past. So, yes, I mean, I think the broader the education, the more likely it is that people have successful careers, and the more likely it is that they meet the needs of employers long term. Can I just tell you one sort of quick story? I mean, someone happened to send me a blog from a website called Spartans Helping Spartans.
Okay.
Which was written by a woman who graduated from MSU, I think in the 80s, 1988. She got a degree in advertising, but spent a lot of her time taking art history classes.
Okay.
And what her blog was about is how this supposedly uneconomic use of her time in education, spending time in art history, ended up being the core of the skills that she used in starting and developing her own successful social media company. So she was making the case, which I think is true over and over and over again, that stuff that people think are useless skills turn out to be really very important to building a career in a world in which, because of globalization and technology, we simply have no clue what's coming next.
Mm-hmm. How much contact do you have with Michigan employers? Is that a big part of your work?
I wouldn't say it's a big part of our work, because, I mean, our work tends to be pretty data-driven. I mean, we're really trying to look at sort of, you know, basically using sort of the data from the statistical agencies of the federal government, sort of what's going on in the economy. But having said that, we do have conversations with employers, and I think the interesting thing is that they all are pretty consistent when they talk to us about what they are looking for when they hire people. And increasingly, it is this broad set of really non-job specific skills. So they really are looking for people who are good thinkers, who are good communicators, obviously have a good work ethic, highly motivated, able to constantly learn and reinvent themselves. I mean, there's one employer that's written this notion that even though he's hiring for a job, he wants to know if the person he's hiring can do three or four jobs, because he doesn't know if the one job he's looking for is going to be around for a long time. So even employers, when you talk to them, describe what they're looking for as broad rather than narrow skills.
Do you hear about soft skills, so-called soft skills, people skills, punctuality, thank you notes, that kind of thing?
Yes. I mean, I think it's broader than that. A lot of it is thinking skills, curiosity, ability to work with other people. I mean, it is. So our analogy is that we're moving into a labor market because of globalization and technology, where everything is so unpredictable and unstable, that putting together a successful career looks a lot more like rock climbing than ladder climbing. You know, we always had this notion of a career ladder, you know, where there were linear steps up the ladder, where you build on a set of sort of foundation skills that you learned early.
Mm-hmm.
Career ladders in a world where sort of occupations and jobs and even industries are sort of, nobody knows if they're going to exist for how long, are toast. So people are going to have, you know, what we call, you know, if you think about rock climbing, it's this ability to, you know, understand challenges and opportunities and then respond to them. It's what we call resourcefulness. Those are the set of skills that are going to matter most going forward.
We're talking with Lou Glaser of Michigan Future. Your group has a school component to it called Michigan Future Schools. Tell us about what they're doing there.
Yeah, so our work, the think tank work that we've been talking about, is funded by Michigan Foundations. And a number of the foundations who funded us about a decade ago came to us and said, we really like this think tank work that you're doing. But sort of at the top of our priority list is trying to figure out how you connect poor kids, predominantly growing up in Michigan central cities, to this new growing knowledge-based economy. So out of that has led an initiative which is called Michigan Future Schools, which we now do in addition to the think tank work, which is starting 10 brand new college prep high schools for students in the city of Detroit.
Are they charter schools or public schools or both? Or
both. So we've chosen, you know, we're sort of through the process now over the last 3 or 4 years of choosing the 10 groups that we're going to work with. We chose them by competitive grant. It was open to public schools, charter schools, and private schools. We were, as we describe it, governance neutral. We're going to end up with 8 charter schools and 2 public schools.
You're opening 4 more this fall, I understand?
Right. There are 5 open now, 4 this fall, and then 1 more in 2014.
What do you make? You've got schools in the Detroit area. What do you make of the Education Achievement Authority discussion at the Capitol?
So we've not tended to get involved in sort of figuring out who are the right operators or not kind of thing. But EAA has about, took over about 15 DPS schools, has about 10,000 kids. I guess our sense is that it is another of these sort of worthwhile experiments to figure out how it is that we provide a higher quality education to urban kids. I think like everything else, our schools, charter schools in general, the EAA schools, I guess our sense is that with all of them, the experimentation is really worthwhile. It's just that I guess our sense with all of them is that there needs to be a reasonably high bar that they meet with sort of the schools they're currently operating before they're allowed to expand. So, I mean, I still think of us as really in the product development phase. We're still trying to figure out sort of what is the way or ways in which you can, either starting in kindergarten or, in our case, starting in the 9th grade, take urban kids like those in Detroit and really, you know, provide education that ends up having kids leave high school academically ready for college. That's the challenge that we're having real problems figuring out nationally.
Okay, very good.
So, I guess EAA is one of, is another one of these good experiments that's going on.
Lou Glaser is the co-founder and president of Michigan Future, Inc., a nonpartisan think tank based in Ann Arbor. You can learn more about their work and read Lou's blog at michiganfuture.org. Thanks, Lou Glaser.
Thank you.